Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome in to the Gramlich and McLean podcast presented by Traeger Grills. It is March, so we are doing pods all the time. And we are very happy about it because we have so much basketball to talk about. This pod is going to be a lot of fun. This is a Friday edition getting you ready for the women's tournament. Specifically, Eric McLean, we are going to be talking to interim head coach of the Florida State Seminoles, Brooke Wyckoff, and head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, Courtney Banghart. Both teams are in the tournament. Both coaches are so much fun. I really enjoyed this episode.
KG, it was a ton of fun. We've got some great fashion tips in here. We found out a little bit about this quarantine that these coaches and teams and players are having to deal with, which is nuts. But this episode was a ton of fun.
It was. It's funny because you're right. We talked to Brooke about her blazer game because her blazer game is fire. And we talked to Courtney about her shoe game because her shoe game is fire. And I'm not trying to knock the other's blazer game or the other's shoe game because those are also fire. But you'll see what we mean. These two are two of the best.
When you add both of those together, that's when you get me. And so it was a perfect interview for me to be doing this with the blazer game and the shoe game.
That's so true, Mac. That's so true. That's really funny. Well, quick reminder to our listeners as well. We're trying to get up to 100 ratings on Apple Podcasts. So if you have time today or whenever, head over to Apple Podcasts, give us that 5-star rating, leave a review if you feel so inclined. We're getting close to that 100 mark. It's a new goal that we have set for the pod. So we really appreciate that. And tell a friend, share it on social media. That would be awesome if you could do that here on the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. We're going to talk with two coaches today, as we have mentioned. Let's tell you a little more about them before we dive into our interviews. Coach Brooke Wyckoff is the interim head coach at Florida State and led the Seminoles to a fourth place finish in the ACC this season. She filled in this year for legendary head coach Sue Simrau, who took the year off to care for her sick mother. Brooke played at Florida State from 1997 to 2001 and has her jersey retired by the school. That is a boss move. She also played in the WNBA for 9 years. Brooke is a founding member of the Moms in Coaching Group. That's a group of moms who coach basketball and meet every year at the Final Four.
Courtney Banghart is in her second season as head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels and has UNC back in the NCAA tournament this season. Before UNC, Courtney coached at Princeton for 12 years, where she made 9 tournament runs and coached the 2015 team to a 31-0 regular season before losing in the NCAA tournament. In 2015, she was named the USBWA National Coach of the Year, and Fortune magazine named her one of the world's 50 greatest leaders. That's truly an amazing accomplishment for a coach.
And she took the time to come on our pod, of all things.
She's pretty amazing. Cool. She's pretty cool.
Yeah, these two are awesome. Let's start off our coaches roundtable for this NCAA tournament episode with interim head coach for Florida State, Brooke Wyckoff.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood.
Coach, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And you guys can't see this, but Coach Wyckoff has this huge Florida State background.
It's gorgeous. I mean, it's beautiful.
Just FSU stuff. I feel like because you played at FSU and you've coached at FSU for so long, the amount of Florida State gear you have, like, do you have a recycling process or do you have an entire room in your house dedicated to Seminole gear?
Yeah, I used to try and keep all of it, and it's impossible. I mean, I've been back 10 years now, and yeah, you guys know, it just like grows.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So there's a Goodwill around the corner from my house, and they get a lot of good gear. Yeah.
They're like, whoa, where did
people actually say? Yeah. Well, years ago, I had somebody go, did you just drop off stuff at Goodwill? Because I went in there, I don't know who it was, and they saw all my stuff, you know? Good.
That was amazing.
You need to tweet that out and be like FSU gear dump at the Goodwill over here.
Exactly. That's awesome. My wife and I, we moved to Charlotte about a year and some change ago, and I kind of was, you know, purging a little bit, cleaning the house, and we did the same thing. And a couple of our friends that live here, they're like, we notice all this Clemson stuff. Is that, and it's huge. Is that your stuff?
It happens.
The
it
difference, Mac, is that Coach has black stuff, which, you know, goes with everything. Orange and purple doesn't exactly go.
You know, they
with
don't
everything.
Love wearing the prison outfit, you know, onesie that we have that we get every year.
Oh,
it's just like,
gosh,
what are we doing here?
Yeah, ridiculous. You guys, yeah, those colors. But there's no denying where you guys are, you know, who you're representing. So
that was very nice.
Traffic cone, nice. Clemson jumpsuit, same thing.
Okay, so you guys went up to the ACC tournament. You had a top four seed, which was a big deal. I mean, Florida State is generally in that top four, at least in the last 10 or 15 years. But it was still a big deal just to get to that point. You guys were picked eighth, I believe. So tell us a little more, just, you know, when you saw that you had the top four seed, because some things needed to happen. You had the tiebreaker with Syracuse. I know that as a coach, you're always, your goals are always high. But what does it mean in a season like this to really get that top four seed in a great league?
It was huge. I mean, I'll be honest. Of course, I believe in our players. I knew the type of talent we had on the team, the potential. But you know how potential is. I mean, it's potential. We don't know what will really happen. And to be very honest, with everything that was going on with our team, all of our players pretty much stepping into new roles, whether they had played or not, and an interim head coach, like there was really no way to know how it would end up. And so, you know, I know we have a lot of potential, a lot of great players. But yeah, so when we got that fourth seed, when Louisville won and it was clear that we had the fourth seed, I just looked around at the staff and I messaged the girls on our group chat, like, you guys, this is unbelievable. Like, this is so cool. How did we do this? How did the players do this? It was really, really neat.
That's awesome. And I have a feeling that you're going to be doing that again in a couple of days here. You've obviously made the NCAA tournament a ton as an assistant coach. What is that feeling going to be like on Monday when you hear FSU's name called?
And it'll be another great moment. It really will. Almost surreal. And honestly, it just goes back to what the players have done. And I know it sounds cliche, but I've been there day in and day out with them, watching them go through all the uncertainty, go through all the ups and downs of a normal season and a season during COVID, go through what it must feel like to, you know, be playing for an interim head coach, just to know that, you know, to hear their name called, hear Florida State called on Selection Monday, and knowing all that, just so proud and happy for them.
Okay, Mac and I have both played, so we know the difference here. And it's you always respect every coach you have. All right, let's be clear. But it is a little different. Your head coach is, you know, they're in charge. And then your assistant, sometimes you have a little bit of a closer relationship, or they're sometimes can be more like friends if you need them, but they're still coaches. Mm-hmm. So how did you navigate that? Mm-hmm. These girls had seen you as an assistant, and then you're their head coach.
Well, I'm very fortunate that Coach Sue is, you know, just the ultimate player's coach, in the sense of the players will go to her first. I mean, over the years, you know, as assistants, we're supposed to take care of all those little things and be there for the players. And we are, but she would tell us, you know, so-and-so texted me, she needed to go to the, you know, we're on the road, she needed to go to the store to get whatever. And she's texting me about this. And we're like, why are they going? Why do the kids go to the head coach? But I was the same way as a player, you know, like she's such a player's first coach and just so relational that it allows us all to be like that. And really, she modeled that way of balancing, like you're talking about, Kelly, that respect for a head coach and that authority figure that knows what's going on. You've got, you know, and somebody that can hold them accountable, the players, but also they're comfortable going to. So making that transition wasn't as difficult. Also, you know, I'd been doing a lot of the offensive like stuff the last 2 years before anyway. And I think the girls thought it was going to be a lot worse. The way I like, you know, you can get on them as an assistant, and because you're not the head coach, like
that's true.
You can be mean and, but when you're the head coach, like every decision, every single time you talk to a player, you really have to be weighing like, how is this going to come out? Cause I'm the ultimate, you know, responsibility, and it all falls back on me. So.
That is so interesting that you said that. We had Coach Rick on the show, who was obviously a great head coach in Miami, and then or at Georgia, and then Miami. And he just
Seminole
said
before that. He was at Florida State before Georgia. Yes. When I was in college, he was here.
Right. Yeah. So he said the same thing that you just did, and the fact that, you know, when he was a coordinator or where he was a position coach, you know, he could joke around and maybe make fun of a guy or say something silly. He said, when it's a head coach, I mean, it's like, the kids are depressed if you say something bad to them. So you have to really pay attention. So that's really interesting that you said that. I want to move to looking at FSU from a big picture here. You guys have really kind of transitioned into this, you know, basketball powerhouse on the men's and women's side and model of consistency. Do you guys have a good relationship with Coach Hamm and the men's program? What does that connection look like?
Coach Hamm is an amazing person, as we've, you know, you can see whether you're close to the program or not. Like, he just is a great man, and he has supported our program and Coach Sue from day one. And so, yeah, we share a building, we share a practice facility with the men. So we're in, you know, tight quarters and see them a lot and just really root for them. And I know they do us. Coach Hamm is just always a support for not only our coaching staff, but also our players. They have definitely formed relationships with him over the years and lean on him for support as well. And that's just been a really, I know that's not at every school. It doesn't work like that between the men's and women's basketball programs. So we're very blessed in that sense.
Yeah, no doubt. And this is just my own theory. I think I said this on a broadcast and I was like, well, I don't really know if that's right, but it's just my theory. When I look at Florida State, I feel like there's a good amount of support for women's programs. And you see that with the wins, right? Mm-hmm. Volleyball, softball recently won a national title. Women's soccer is really good. Mm-hmm. Women's basketball, of course. How does that manifest in the day-to-day? Like, how have you seen the support for women's athletics at FSU?
Yeah, you're exactly right. We have a great culture, championship culture across all sports, and especially women's sports. And yeah, softball and soccer, they hold, they set the standard really, really high. We're trying to get on their level with the national championships. But it really is a group of people at Florida State that get there and become just committed and entrenched into the family atmosphere. It still has a small kind of town feel. And also just the university is tight knit. And so, yeah, you come there and you really know that you're cared for, supported, and you're just free to be excellent on the field or on the court.
That's awesome to hear. And I know it's easier to succeed when you have that support, when you feel that support from administration, just across the platform of different programs that you have. All right. I know we don't have our draw yet, and this may even be harder to figure out this question I'm about to ask, but I want you to do a little bit of a fill in a blank here, because I think great coaches, great programs, it's more about you anyway. So FSU will advance to the Sweet 16 and beyond if we do blank.
Ooh, if we can defend and rebound and defend and rebound and defend and rebound for 40 minutes.
Well, Kelly and I don't want to hear that, because this is an
defense podcast.
I know, right? No one wants to talk about
it. That's because it's
defense. Gosh, it is. And that's the thing where, gosh, you just can't count on that ball going through the hoop. I mean, Kelly, I know you could a lot. Not all of us are in the same boat. And so, you know, that's the thing that it's the hard truth of basketball, and it's a beautiful thing. That, yeah, it's awesome to get that offense flowing and to see that ball go in. But, man, it's not going to as much as we'd like. So that defense and rebounding for 40 minutes is key.
What do you think this year is going to be like? Again, you don't know your draw, but you know where you're going. You're going to the great state of Texas, by the way, which I love. So you know you're going out there. You're going to be in some sort of bubble environment. You may be playing in Austin or somewhere else. Like, how are you preparing for that? I feel like that's going to be so weird.
Yeah, it's not only going to be weird just to be in one city, but we have to be really, really isolated while we're there in terms of just with our team. So even though we're all in the bubble, or if there's multiple teams in a hotel, you can't interact with the other teams.
Yeah, you can't say, hey, you can't, you just can't. That stinks.
Yeah, so that will be challenging. And we're already thinking through that, you know, in terms of, how do we keep everybody from going crazy? You know, you're like doing games in the hallway and you know, just like whatever, scavenger hunts throughout everybody's room. You know, things like that. But that is a huge factor. And a lot of people have been talking about that will be a key in terms of that team, those teams that can get to the end of the tournament, that mental focus while you're not on the court, to just, you know, be committed to being there under the circumstances.
It's going to be interesting for sure. Coach, before we wrap up, I'm going to actually steal this question from Kelly because I know she might have one or two Blazers. Your Blazer game is
I'm
incredible.
Working on it.
And it's something
and Mac,
that you kind of...
Can you see behind Mac? He's got all these sports coats.
I do see that.
Mac is he's nice. Into it.
Brooke, you and I could get along and talk about clothes, it seems like, for a long time.
Yeah.
I know Kelly aspires to be like us. So are there any tips for her on kind of how you got to where you are present day haberdasher level?
It has definitely been an evolution. I am not, you know, it's and as a head coach, you've got to really factor in the comfort level. I mean, as an assistant, when you're sitting down and you're sitting down the whole game, any shoes, any tight, any loose or tight thing will work, you know, cause you're sitting down. As a head coach, when you've got to be up and moving, you're sweating a ton. Coach Sue used to come in sweat, you know, she'd be like, oh, I'm so hot.
She's working those reps.
Oh yes. So the Blazers, like there's a little breathability there, a little, you know, you got to have that flexibility to move your arms, wave them around. That helps. But no, it's been fun just, you know, being able to kind of, bust out my Blazer game. And yeah, Kelly, I see you. You're doing it, girl. Too.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. How many Blazers do you own? Are you willing to disclose this?
I don't know. I haven't counted.
Is it double digits?
It's Oh, yeah. It's double digits. I have more than I haven't busted out because, you know, it's COVID year. So nobody's really,
it just keeps going.
Yeah. Well, there's some that are kind of wild that I'm like, it's COVID year. Like, this is too much. I'm not going to bust these out. You know, got to keep it low key. No one else is dressing up at all. So,
right.
Okay. That makes me so curious too, because I feel like, and love all the coaches in the ACC, I feel like some of them are just like, forget it. I'm never wearing tight fitting clothes ever again. Like I'm going to wear sweatpants for the rest of my life. And I respect it, but I know that that's not you, Brooke. Like you want to look good, which I love. So how has this been with your fellow coaches?
I got to tell you, my coaches are on board for whatever my girls, Coach Tolles and Coach McCorvey, like they are totally on board and down for whatever. They have not put up a fight at all. They are all about looking good as well and being stylish. I just, you know, like my job is kind of my life, as sad as that sounds. If I didn't put on something for games, I would be in sweats 24/7. Right. I'm not okay with that. I just, I can't. So. Gotta have something, you know.
That makes a lot of sense. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The work from home, it's like we've been wearing this all day anyway.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on.
Is there any other coach out there? It doesn't have to be ACC. Any other coach where you're like, okay, I respect it. Like that wardrobe, I like it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I know. There are several, and there are several. But you know what? Listen, I won't say names, but like any coach that didn't wear polos, and I will say Tina Thompson. Okay.
Like, yes.
She is
Tina
not a
brings
polo.
It.
Yes. I will say her. And I'm, you know, unfortunately they had to shut down their season this year, but we would, the game we played them and she was in Chanel. I mean, her wardrobe, she is like my clothing, like she's goals because she's in all the high-end brands like Louis, Chanel, like on and on.
Bringing it.
Brings it. And she is not a polo and sweats or khakis girl. So I'm with her. I'm trying to be like her.
She's the only one in those meetings with you. Everyone else. And Coach
Q. But he was okay for our game against him. Well, the ACC tournament games, he was rocking the velour.
The
old school velour, elite, Nike pantsuit that we all had a couple years ago.
Oh, like I had
ago.
That.
Yeah.
That was a Goodwill real quick.
Thank you. Mine's at Goodwill too. He still has it and he looks good in it. I mean, he rocks it. It's all good.
That's the thing. It's Coach Q. Like he can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get serious for a second. Last question. We promise. Moms and coaching is something that you co-founded and it's an excellent organization that supports moms and coaching. We know you're a mom. So what does that organization mean to you?
It's really a passion of mine because, well, it combines the two pretty much most important things that I, you know, on a daily basis for me, which is being a mother, which is first and foremost, and being a coach. And Moms in Coaching has women from any level of basketball, from pro level on down to high school, middle school. But at the college level, it really is a difficult balance with the amount that we usually have to travel for recruiting, obviously during the season, and just the time that the job takes. So we have a group of women that are dedicated to both, that want to be excellent in the home, obviously, but in their job. So we're there to support each other, to give advice, to encourage each other, but also be models for younger women that are thinking about having a family or have a family and are thinking about coaching, and letting them know, hey guys, you know, it is possible. Cause I didn't always know that. I didn't know that. When you don't see it, again, we talk about representation so much in our society these days. It really is important that you see people doing what you aspire to. So that's a big part of Moms in Coaching as well.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Brooke, we appreciate your time so much. Good luck in the NCAA tournament, and we'll be keeping an eye on your Blazers.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
Y'all, be on the lookout for Coach Brooke's Blazer game in this tournament. I promise you, she's sending me tips as we speak. But before we get to Coach Banghart's interview, I want to tell you guys about our great friends over at Traeger Grills. And the fact is, nothing tastes better than food cooked over fire. Guys, tonight I'm doing my world-famous barbecue chicken. The recipe is actually from my father-in-law, so I call it Big Daddy's Barbecue Chicken. And it is tremendous. It's going to be so much fun. Y'all will see it all over my social media. And a lot of people ask me for recipes all the time. This one, I can't give it to you. I will tell you though, we cook it for about an hour, then we dunk it in the special sauce, cook it for another 15 minutes, and it just falls right off the bone. And all that happens because of this great convection heating system that Traeger has. You can literally cook anything on these and you'll never mess it up. It's not too dry, too smoky, or too charred like it used to be on my old gas grill. Whatever I'm cooking, guys, it always comes out perfect. Do yourself a favor, find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC.
Mac, I feel a cookbook in your future. I think this could be a thing. And by cookbook, I mean a manly grill book.
No, you know, Tacky and I could come together and find some stuff. And, you know, it'd be a wholesome Southern family cookbook. I agree.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's in there.
That sells itself. I can't wait. All right, let's get to our next coach here in our coaches roundtable, the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, Courtney Banghart. Coach, you literally just arrived in San Antonio, and I can't imagine how different this is than your other, I believe, 9 NCAA tournaments that you were in with Princeton. So just give our listeners a little insight. What is it like so far? You're just on the ground there in Texas.
Yeah. I mean, even the selection show, right? It's usually such an exciting time because you're sharing it with your journey, right? You're sharing it with your sort of your big donors, your biggest fans, your season ticket holders, you know, kind of your scrimmage guys. I mean, the whole thing. And it was very different this year. You know, you're sitting far apart. You don't know if you're, should you jump up in the air? Should you not? There's a delay, you know, all this stuff. So it was very different. And then, you know, when you're flying out here, same thing, your band's not with you. It's just you can barely see the people to your right or to your left or your front or behind. You're just so separate. You're traveling in 3 buses. I mean, it's really, really different. I actually missed the memo that I thought you were quarantined in your hotel until you got your 2 negative tests. So I have all these running clothes to go outside, and apparently I'm going to now be lunging in my room. So,
you can't go outside at all?
No, and I guess I didn't. Apparently, I was told that, and I thought it was just for the 48 hours. But I get why, right? Because although I truly would just be exercising, I obviously don't want somebody else to limit or to potentially risk our kids. But yeah, I will not be running outside. I will not be going for a walk on campus. I will be in this hotel room and talking to you. So
there we go.
If you need us to call back later, just please let us know.
Will you ship some red wine then too?
That's right. That's right. Well, Coach Kelly just mentioned Princeton a little bit there. And I know you were there 12 seasons and had tremendous success and probably very near and dear to your heart. What was it about North Carolina that made you take that jump to come into the ACC and to a great school like UNC?
Yeah, it was, first of all, it was that, right? The ACC, you know, the kids, our player success had given me a lot of options down the line. And I hadn't been on many campuses because I really was like, no, no, no. And then I went on a few campuses and started to listen a little bit more. And even then was just like, the ACC is the conference. I'm from the East Coast. It's just, it's the basketball conference. And obviously with my background, I wanted to be in an academic institution. I wanted to be in a global brand. I wanted to be on a college campus. I mean, all the things that, as I say, it's kind of Princeton on steroids in a lot of ways. And to have an opportunity to win a national championship, but also to coach Rhodes Scholars is sort of that kind of, that combination is pretty special to me.
That's a really interesting way to put it. Princeton on steroids. I haven't thought about it that way, but I think that that's really a good way to put it. I've heard you say this because we've had the chance to chat before games and stuff. I've heard you say for women's basketball, UNC needs to be good. Mm-hmm. And I really like the way you put that. But what do you mean by that?
I mean that, you know, until you have someone close to you that is a women's basketball player or coach, maybe you stay a little bit at an arm's distance away from the game. Yet there's these brands that if North Carolina is good, it means it's so such an attractive brand nationally and internationally that people pay attention to it. Right. And so if you're at a bar or a restaurant, you see North Carolina, and you're not necessarily tracking on men or women. And then you get closer to the game, you see it's the women, you would get attached to it. So I think it also, really the recognizable nature of Carolina will continue to draw more and more fans to the women's game. And then once you get them, and you know, you guys know this on this podcast, once you get them, they stay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great game. I think some of these really rich tradition of athletic programs, women's basketball needs us. And it's one of the things that I know there's a risk leaving a place like Princeton for that, but it's exactly why I wanted to be here.
I love that, Coach. And that makes a lot of sense, kind of tying in what you just said there too, leaving Princeton, I think is really cool. You guys got really hot in the year looking at this team right now. And really it happened after that NC State win. I mean, once you got that done, it just was looking
like
a different team.
You're welcome, by the way, Coach. You're welcome. Called that game. Was talking about the Navy blue uniforms, the whole broadcast.
Fire.
It worked.
Fire. Yeah.
But what would you, I guess, accredit just the streak to and you know, really kind of turning a corner?
Yeah, a variety of things. I think once is we tactically made a change, right? We went smaller in our lineup. And I say small, and that's not really fair to Alyssa because she's 6'2", and she played post in high school. But we play much more spread now on both ends. So defensively, we can stay in front of the ball better, less navigating screens. Offensively, we can play with more space and we can play faster. So partly it was that. The second area is urgency, right? There's an athletic mortality to your career that you're starting to recognize as you get older and you're starting to say, boy, if we don't start winning these games, we're not going to the tournament. And I just was very clear on that. I think the third thing is we've got only two players that play on our team, three total on the roster that even were on the team last year. And so we had so many new faces and then you shorten the non-conference and then you have this big disruption of like 21 or something days over Christmas and, you know, all this. And so it just takes time, right? It takes time for our young guys, it takes time for the trust and it takes time for the fluency. And then lastly, just Asia Kelly playing a lot better. You know, everyone's trajectory looks different. And I think when you're an All-American coming in, people have expectations of how your trajectory is going to go. And she just stuck with it. And as she's gotten better, so have we. So it's really been a kind of a combination of many different factors.
The Deja piece is huge. And yeah. I am such a big fan of Deja for so many reasons. She's from Texas, which, you know, I love. But I also remember talking with her before the season because I think she wants to get into broadcasting. And I was so blown away just talking with her. And I think you saw a little bit of that freshman wall, right? We've all been there. But once she pushed through it, it's like she ran through it. So what specifically do you think changed for her?
You know, I think honestly for a couple things, fortunately her and I have gotten very close. So I think she trusted me through the process and I never let up. I was like, the other option is what? The other option is just to tie up your shoes and decide that you're going to get better next year. Like that, there's really no other option than to just keep going. And then I think in a way too, she kind of got to the bottom where she was like, okay, like enough is enough. Like I have to stop worrying about getting everybody else shots and stop worrying about fitting in. And then really leading into even the Clemson game, we knew that she was going to be able to play against pressures that was going to speed her up and that would help. So it's kind of, you know, I had been watching her in practice, Kelly, all along. I had been spending a lot of time talking to her, really adjusted her schedule. So she was spending more time in the gym, less time in film and more time just going out and doing it. So, you know, I'm so grateful that she stuck with the process because it is different for everybody.
I love that. And it's interesting too, with freshmen, sometimes you got to be like, turn your brain off, just go play. Just go play. So speeding her up, I think that's a really good point. Let's talk about Bama for a second here. This is a team, haven't made the tournament since 99. So they kind of have that, you know, we're back, kind of like the Wake story, which we all love. Jasmine Walker, future top 10 pick. Similar to Bailey in that she lost a lot of weight in the offseason and got more agile. So what are some keys for y'all against the Tide?
You know, they're gonna try to disrupt us with this kind of funky zone that they play. You know, we're going to have to really dictate our possessions well. I think the ACC has prepared us, I hope, well, because there's so many different styles, as you all know, in the ACC. And that's one of the conference's strengths that's, like, I think is underrepresented of how different all of our teams are. And so you've got to play a team like Virginia Tech, which is very different than Florida State, which is very different than Syracuse, which is very different than Louisville, which is, you know, and so we're going to kind of lean on our ACC counterparts and how we've had to play in various ways. You know, they're a three-headed monster offensively, but defensively, that it's more of they're trying to get you to beat yourself. And we got to kind of take it to them and make sure that we dictate our possessions well.
Coach, last one for you here. And honestly, this might be the most important question of the whole podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Your shoe game is unbelievable. The Jays, you're always rocking a crazy nice pair, exclusives. You can't find them anywhere. Is there like a secret one or two that you have brought to the tournament that we're just going to be blown away when we see these or what?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, come on. Look out.
The pair that I brought, one of the pairs I brought is my fave, and I've been holding on to them. You can't buy them. And I'm really pumped about them. Another pair everybody else thinks are super cool. So I keep getting told I need to wear those more. So, you know, the J game has made me a lot cooler for sure. But the pair I either will wear first or second round is pretty fire. I will say.
I love it. I cannot
Mac is
wait
a sneakerhead.
A big sneakerhead.
Mac, you're welcome to my office then. So my office has just a whole wall of bookshelves.
Come on.
And I took out the entire middle of all, no books, no pictures. It's just all shoes.
Oh,
in my bookshelf.
You don't happen to wear a size 15, do you? We can swap trades and shoes.
No, the beauty of my shoe size is that I never have to, like, you know, sometimes when you're on a team and if you order a certain size and then one of the players misordered, they take yours. That happened to me at Princeton all the time. Now, like, these people are giants. So the only, there's always, these are coaches. Always.
That's hilarious. Okay, wait. We've got to ask about this. Speaking of Mac, it did make me think about this because Eric McLean loves Mac Brown.
Who doesn't?
Love Mac Brown too. He's amazing. I know you guys have a special relationship. So tell us more about that.
So it all sort of started when I first got this job. And then I reached out pretty early in the process. Well, he reached out to me, but I had something on that came up that I had a serious questions about how to kind of handle. And I called him and I said, "Mac, let me know when you have a little bit of time." And he said, "How's lunch in an hour?" And literally that's how he is. And, you know, he sort of said, "Your job here is to make sure that I have fun with this because I've done this a long time and I sometimes lose sight of that." And I tell him his job is to make sure that I win. And so he, you know, he's been just such a good friend and a fan. And, you know, there's so many Mac Brown stories, but I have to say, you know, I know Gail Gaston, of course, said it when she was at Texas, is that he was a big reason that she left. And, you know, he's been just him and Sally have been, you know, the best supporters and talks to our recruits. He cares about our games. He's, you know, he's reaching out all the time. So it's just, he's the best and he cares. And that's kind of all you can ever want.
I would expect nothing less.
His dance moves are better, Kelly, though.
See, I have asked this and I've actually lobbied to get that debate on some of our shows. So I'm still working on it, mainly because I just want to show that what I call Mac Brown's Simon Says dance move.
You know what he said, like, about that dance move, though?
What?
He said that he touches every part of his body that hurts.
Oh, okay.
That's his dance move.
So and then just
Roy
tell
Williams
us.
That just oozes
I need help.
Cool.
I need help.
Roy does like the little shimmy.
He does the shimmy. He just oozes cool. And then so I'm, yeah, but that.
But your dance moves after NC State, those were pretty fire. I enjoyed them. Yeah. I enjoyed them. Those were good.
As you know, there's no music, so it's really tough.
Yeah, you got to just make your own rhythm there.
Totally.
Well, I know you're a New Englander.
Yep.
You were your whole life. Now you're in the South. I know that the research triangle isn't really the South, but it is.
Yep.
What's the best part about the South? Like, is it the food, weather? What do you like the most?
A lot of things. Weather for sure. But I have to say the people are so genuinely kind. The pace of life and people are just so nice. And it's well talked about. I still think it's not talked about enough. I mean,
yes.
These people are the best.
See, we love to hear that. Mac actually lives in North Carolina. I'm in South Carolina. So I think it's the weather. The weather makes people generally happier. You're not freezing your butt off all day.
You know, just trying to shovel out 12, 24, 30 inches of snow out of your driveway, your life is a lot better.
Oh, big time. And then your shoes don't get all like the salt
exactly.
on it.
It goes back
so
to the
many,
shoes.
There's so many reasons. So you're not in quarantine usually for 48 hours because you're outside more. Yeah, this is like going back to my inner northeast roots for sure.
We love it. Thank you, Coach. We'll keep an eye on the Jays for the tournament. I'm actually calling y'all's Alabama games. So I'm so pumped about it.
Oh, awesome.
This worked out great. So I'll probably talk to you again soon, but I will keep an eye on the Jays.
Okay, that sounds great.
Huge thank you to our Traeger Grills guest of the week, Coach Wyckoff and the Seminoles. They're going to play Oregon State at 7:30 Sunday on ESPN2. And Coach Banghart and the Heels will play Alabama. I feel like you just have to kind of say it that way. Channel your inner Stephen A. Smith. They play Alabama at noon on Monday on ESPN. And actually, guys, you can hear your favorite podcaster ever, Kelly Gramlich, on the call for both of those games. So you know I'll be tuned in. You guys should too.
Isn't it crazy? We thought, you know what? Let's get Coach Banghart and Coach Wyckoff on. They're going to be great. They're great talkers, blah, blah, blah. And then I get my schedule.
Boom.
And I have North Carolina, Florida State. Absolutely
amazing. It's funny how those things work out.
Yeah.
It's funny how they work out.
Pretty cool moment. I'm very excited to call both of those games. We also want to give a shout out to Steve over at Florida State and Dana over at North Carolina, the two SIDs who are doing amazing work, who helped us coordinate these interviews. And to our producer, Richmond Weaver, who does an excellent job. Really excellent if you knew what we gave him to work with. Check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Gramlich and McLane, brought to you by our friends over at Traeger Grills. It's always appreciative you guys listening. If you haven't already, Kelly told you on the front end, I'm going to tell you on the back end, go to iTunes, hit us with a rating. We'd love to hear from you guys. Write a review. It's always fun to read those. We would greatly appreciate you doing that for us. But until next time, we'll see y'all.